I was the odd duckling in class, and I was the oddball in my family, so they're all very tall, brown hair, brown eyes, tan, athletic, and I was none of those, so art came natural to me. My grandfather was an artist, so maybe it skipped a generation and landed with me.
This is Something from Nothing, the podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. I'm Justin Lewis. On today's episode, I talk more with Mitch Kimball about how he is making his dreams come true in Paducah. He will also share the details of his shop, how he got interested in pottery, and what makes that medium unique. We are standing in Ochre, a shop here in the Coke plant. His swell is spinning right here in front of us.
Well, the spinning wheel that I use is a potter's wheel, and it's a Shimpo Whisper, which has no sound at all. It's extremely quiet, and it is driven by magnets. So it's very easy to use, and I make 95% of my pots on this potter's wheel.
Now tell me how possibly doing your work inside the Coke plant here with people coming in and out is different than doing your work at home.
I would say it's a little different because you have public interaction, which is great because since I'm an art teacher, I'm able to educate people on what quality ceramics or pottery is all about, you know, and they get to see the details of how things are made, that process. A lot of people love to see the process of pots being made versus like, look, there's a pot, you know. Yeah. So in a lot of ways, you get to see how it's actually made. And so some people are like, well, how long does it take to make a pot? And it's like, well, if you hang around long enough, you'll see, you know. So yeah, you'll get to see the beginnings of it. A lot of the pots that I make aren't meant to be trimmed, while some are. So it depends on what we're doing in the shop that day. Between making cups, you get to see how handles are made, teapots being assembled, and various other pots in stages while you come into the shop. So it's kind of a neat thing to be able to share that experience. While if I was working at my home, and I don't really have that public interaction, so I would say I'm a little more focused at home making pots. So it's good either way.
Some people take their work to coffee shops. I never thought a potter would be able to take their work to a coffee shop, but you seem to have achieved as close as you can get to that, being right across the hallway from Piper's.
Well, I do make coffee mugs.
I'm looking around and I see all sorts of different types of art. How did you decide which artists to include in your shop and who would be a good fit for your business?
We looked for artists that had like mindsets and were looking for a home. There were many artists that had been working and selling their wares in local venues but did not have a home. So for an artist to set up at a shop and then break down, that takes a lot of time. It takes time out of the studio, takes personal time managing life and selling your work. So we wanted to reach out to a group of artists that did not have a home, that had a passion for art, and the art that they were making fit our personal aesthetics on what we hope to make a shop look like. Yeah. So we were looking for nostalgic artists. We were looking for somewhat racy artists. We were looking for political artists. We were looking for traditional artists. So we brought in all of these people that we felt were a good mix. And each of us offered our own styles and aesthetics. So we looked for a metalsmith. We looked for other jewelry that involved leather and glass. We looked for fiber artists. We looked for mixed media artists. We looked for, you know, different types of individuals that expressed themselves creatively and were doing a professional job of that.
I think I mispronounced Ochre 10 or 11 times before I finally started getting it right. Tell me again where the term ochre came from.
Ochre is a material that is found in the earth, and it's a pigment. And man decided to leave his mark on cave walls using this material sprayed against his hand. And we decided to do that because we are all makers, and ochre is a common material that we use in our work.
How did you find your way into this profession? What was it that set you up to become a potter?
I got started making pots when I was in high school. I had a high school teacher that shared a studio space for photography and ceramics, and she would let me work in there in between classes, and I got hooked making pots in high school, and it slowly progressed into junior college, and I really liked art, and ceramics was always fun and kind of a stress reliever. Seems like you can make anything out of a lump of clay, so that was a good class to take, and I took another class and then another class, and then I went to a four-year university, and they had ceramics too, and I got to play with more and more clay, and as my techniques developed, I learned more, I experimented more, and slowly one thing led to another, and I became a potter.
So would you say that a high school art teacher influenced you to get into this?
Yeah, that's right. High school art.
It would be a good time to mention that you yourself are a high school art teacher.
That is correct, for over 10 years now. So my influences from high school teachers have also influenced me to become a high school teacher.
Would you say that being a professional artist aids you in teaching students?
I believe it does. I believe being a practicing artist as well as an art educator really helps people understand the practicality of working with the medium, the problem solving that goes in it, and the entrepreneurial spirit that could be part of the reason why someone gets into art and why it's important.
The arts community in Paducah, particularly Lower Town, is filled with talented artists. Can you give us some more insight into how the arts community associates with each other?
I would say the local artists here are more like neighbors or family. And we see each other daily on our walks, and sometimes we bump into each other at the local coffee shops. So we're always exchanging ideas. We're working on projects. Social media even keeps us located, you know, together with our thought processes and what we might be creating. So Lower Town's a very special place where everyone gets together, and especially for Thanksgiving, we have potlucks. We have artists that come in from around the world with the UNESCO destination and the Paducah Arts Alliance. So when things are happening, we all share it. We all attend each other's events, and we're just excited to see what each person is creating and what they're putting forth with their talents and their abilities. So it's a wonderful place to live. I encourage anyone to move to Lower Town.
How long have you been here in Paducah in the Lower Town District?
I've lived here for over 10 years, ever since the beginning of the artist relocation program. My aunt moved here. She was one of the first artists to get one of the buildings in Lower Town to fix up. She moved from California, and her name was Frida Fairchild. She's a non-toxic printmaker. And one summer, she says, "Hey, do you guys want to come to Paducah and help me work on this big old house?" And it was in the summer. Shannon and I had just begun dating, and so it was a good test to see if we were made for each other. Mm-hmm. So we moved up here for the summer. We did some odd and end jobs, and we helped fix up her house. And we would walk around in the neighborhoods and sit on the porches and just, it's like, imagine if this house was ours. I was like, what a cool thing. All these artists are moving here. This would be a great place for us to be. But we didn't have a lot of money. But the houses were so affordable. $1, $2 to $8,000 was the most expensive house at the time. So we didn't have much money. But we did have a dream, and we decided to finish up our education. And if the timing was right, we would move back. And that's exactly what happened. It was an early plan. We worked for it. We set a goal. And now we're here making our lives just living a dream, I guess.
Let's talk more about your particular aspect of our creative city. In what way is pottery different than other forms of art?
Well, I would say clay is a wide open material and a medium, and there are some artists or artisans or craftsmen across the United States and the world, for that matter, that use clay in completely different ways than I do. Some see them as a two-dimensional surface to draw on, to print on, to sew, to shatter, to reassemble. It depends on what you want your outcome to be. Clay is very similar to other art forms, to where you do paint on the surface, you can scratch on the surface, you can draw on the surface, you can print on the surface. There's so many things that you can actually do with clay that it's in its own right unique, and in a lot of ways it's very similar to all the other art forms. I guess when car designers are thinking about new cars, each person works with a clay model of what that car looks like. Some sculptors use clay in order to get ideas of what their large-scale sculptures look like. Some jewelry designers will use clay to do maquettes of what those tiny pieces of metal will look like. So I would say that clay is a universal material that most artists can relate to, whether in a two-dimensional sense or three-dimensional. Just depends on what you would like to make.
Tell me about one of the favorite pieces of art that you made.
I would have to say probably a cup. I used to fire wood fire kilns all over the Southeast, and there was one lady, her name was Mary Burner, and she had a very large wood kiln, and we would fire it several times with friends, and I developed a really beautiful green mossy glaze that fit on top of another glaze, a Shino glaze. And when we fired that kiln, it was something magical every time you opened it up. You would have hundreds of pots coming out of the kiln. And this one time I got a really, really beautiful cup, and I've kept it to this day. And I covet that cup and those memories of firing with Mary and my friends. So it's great to have tea and coffee out of.
If you had to trade in your skills as a potter for another type of art form, what would you do?
I would trade pottery for metalsmithing. My wife is a metalsmith, and to see her pack up her wares in this tiny suitcase, and the fact that people covet her work and collect her work just as much as they do mine, except pots can break and they tend to be cumbersome to lug around from show to show or from sale to sale. And I've always, always really appreciated how everything she makes fits in this tiny little suitcase. So if I had to trade it, I might join forces with Shan Stamper and make our own line of jewelry together.
It's been an honor to have you on the show, Mitch. I've enjoyed the window into the art world of Paducah, in addition to learning more about you and pottery. This has been Something from Nothing, a podcast about the creative process and the individuals involved. Mr. Kimball, let's end by you telling your favorite part of being a potter.
Getting muddy, probably. That's the most satisfying part. Seems the texture of clay, the way it's sticky, and the sounds, and the fact that you can make just about anything with the material seems to be the most satisfying. It's completely wide open to whatever your imagination allows.